The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to A Game from the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino.
How's everybody?
I have Herman Sinertia.
What's shaking?
And I have Hassan Godwin.
My knee hurts.
this is our special earthquake edition.
Yeah, my foot hurts.
I'm in a lot of pain.
Yeah, what hurts on you, Charlie?
Everything just encompass the whole
thing. That's not good.
It came from the clinic.
Shit. Everything shouldn't hurt. Yeah, it came from the clinic. Yeah.
Well, like
it came from the doctor's office.
Well, like I said, this is the special earthquake edition. So if
anybody
the special infirmary edition of the game.
Knows how
you know, good. I literally thought someone was pushing the building that I was in. And then, you know, I had no idea. Like, everyone was like, yeah, we were waiting for it. We were waiting for this tremor. I'm like, what, you're waiting for it? What do you mean you're waiting for it? Someone needs a... I got text. Drop me a line. I'm sitting in my house. I'm watching television, and everything starts shaking. That's ridiculous.
I was in a movie theater, and I saw the refrigerator doing, like, a dance. I said, Godzilla's coming. And then I called my wife up. She says, I don't feel nothing. I said, story of my life.
I'm in the basement sitting on my couch, and all of a sudden the couch is moving like a swing. I thought I was going. I thought it was the big one. And I'm doing Fred Sanford. I'm coming, Elizabeth. It's the big one.
I was talking to my friend online. I was typing, and the computer started moving side to side. I was like, uh-oh, that's not good. And the person I'm talking to says, oh, you sure it wasn't a truck passing by? I'm like, I think I know the difference between a truck and an earthquake.
The person you were talking to was an idiot.
We did not have an earthquake, folks. We just had the aftershock from Virginia.
Good. Because I'm going to tell you right now, an earthquake's going to cut through New York City like a
he's right,
like a scissor to a piece of paper. It's we are doomed. Don't be in the city when the real earthquake hits. That entire island is going to go right into the water.
It's going to be like the Titanic.
I'm telling you, because if that was a tremor, my building shook. Like, so I'm literally like there was a giant guy pushing on the building. I swear, I went to look out the window, like, what the heck is going on? And you know, car alarms were going off. You know, kids were running off the streets and stuff like that. It was ridiculous.
Imagine the people. I was in a movie theater. And imagine the people watching the scene, of Final Destination, with the bridge, and they thought, "Well, wow, why don't they install this in the movie? It's pretty good."
That's the 5D they're talking about.
Yeah,
the 5D. Because you know, the 4D is the scratch and sniff, so the 5D is the motion.
Oh boy,
that's how it's gonna be. So if anybody's having any trouble to listening
they're
to
not.
Us on the
they're
air,
not any
you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, they have the upgraded webcam, so now you can see us in high definition right now, waving.
Our fans
on
are
high
bummed,
definition.
So they're not going to do any of that stuff.
And if you guys really don't want to see us in high definition, you have the option to go back to the old 10-second intervals, which is a little button that you can actually press. So you don't have to see us in high definition. You don't have to see us at all.
I don't want
to
see us in high definition.
You can if you want to. And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. Now I'm going to take away with the news. All right.
Charlie's hurting.
For those of you who like independent comics, there is no greater independent comic than Red Anvil's War of the Independents. Originally announced by Dave Ryan of Red Anvil Comics in January of 2007. He was a guest on our old show. I don't know if you remember that, Hassan.
I don't remember anything.
Well, he announced that he was going to have all the independent creators come together to make a big comic book crossover.
I honestly don't remember how I got here tonight. And I think I just did it. So I really...
Won't remember him?
No, I won't remember him. He shouldn't be offended.
Well, okay. I'm sure he's not offended. The final product is now ready for publication. War of the Independents number 1. featuring such characters as Ant, the Max from Image Comics, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby, and Pokey. And yes, my character Sunburst will be in there, so hooray for me.
Does she get killed off?
It's kind of...
Wow, just ask her if she gets killed off.
My God.
Probably doesn't get killed off. I'm gonna play it safe.
Gotta have a poignant death, man. That's what gets characters remembered these days.
They're gonna kill off Gumby and Pokey.
Hey, do you remember the guy who died next to you in the morning, or the guy who was just sitting on the bus on his way to work?
He's right.
Which one do you remember?
That's true.
The guy kicked it.
But in comics, no one stays dead forever, except for Uncle Ben and Uncle Ben. He's the only one.
No.
They all came back.
Uncle Ben came back.
No, he was the only one that didn't come back.
He did. He makes the rice for the...
All right, listen. Don't toy with me. Gumby and Pokey's coming back.
Gumby and Pokey is going to be in this crossover.
But they're terrorists.
No. They're going to be... It's going to be coming out in October, so reserve your copy right now.
Gumby can do today.
Serve it.
He can turn into any book.
Is he doing the little Gumby song?
Yes.
If you've got a heart, then Gumby's a father.
I remember that song.
Moving along.
Moving on.
Hey, one more time.
My foot hurts. Now.
Hey, Gumby, you crazy green thing, you. Go ahead.
Speaking of, actually,
Eddie
no
Murphy's
speaking
Gumby.
Of, moving along. Moving
Mr.
on.
Segway.
Oh, no segway, sir.
Okay.
You know, he wasn't here last week either, no segways.
Yeah.
Last week, I mentioned that there was a remake of the movie Dirty Dancing. Now it seems there's another Patrick Swayze movie that's coming, and it's going to be brought to Broadway.
Roadhouse.
Not
the musical.
No, it'll be Ghost. Ghost the musical.
Oh, my God.
How are you going to do this one?
I'm going to get up and leave. If my feet weren't hurting, I would get up and leave.
Me too.
It will begin previews in New York in March 2012. Complete with new songs by Grammy Award winner Dave Stewart and Glenn Ballard.
It's going to be just as good as Turn Off the Dark. It's called Dirty Dancing.
Well, they're going to
turn on the
ghost.
Music.
Ghost.
Well, it's ghosts,
ghost,
so they may actually have real ghosts in the move in the Broadway play.
Give me alone.
It was a joke.
All right,
you buffoon.
Thank you.
You stone cold idiot.
For those of you that don't know, Dave Stewart is the guy who is the guy half of the Eurythmics, so he actually is going to write the music. And it'll be directed by Tony Award winner Matthew Warchus, so that's not so bad then.
Yeah, it is. Turn off the dark.
Is that exciting?
Turn off the dark had everything going for it, too. Yeah. Well, what happened to that?
Yes, what did happen?
It's doing good now.
Yeah. What happened to that $70 million
that's what I'm saying.
Production?
So $70,000 million later, Ghost will be on Broadway, and like five people see it and go, it was the most spectacular
thing. Are they going to be making that clay pot?
Ghost was a movie. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that this is going to be a new trend where they're going to make movies into musical plays? Like, that's going to be the new thing?
Yeah, the Mary Poppins.
Because, like Hollywood, they're not having original ideas anymore, right?
All right, let that be redundant.
No,
let's not be redundant.
No, I'm saying
that. Are you sure you listen to our show?
Wait a minute.
This
no,
is the first time I'm listening to the show. It's pretty good.
I'm saying that.
In the elevator with us with the Trekkies.
Yeah, I'm saying that seriously. It's got, you know, they're just. Nobody has to have.
Charles, you can't fix it. You don't have the money to fix it, all right?
It's not about the money.
Look at me.
It's just not even...
Yeah, it's
just
not about... All right, move on. Keep moving.
All right,
who died? someone kicked it. Someone kicked it.
Moving along. X-Men First Class just released a deleted scene before the DVD comes out on September 9th.
So how will we see that?
It's online. You got to go online.
Oh, okay.
See the,
thank you.
The deleted scene.
WHO... CARES! Point! Exclamation
you don't
point!
Know it.
Exclamation point!
And you don't have it here in your little notes, but they're making a musical on Broadway. X-Men First Class.
Why you have to let him off?
Turn on the class light.
He just said it's not on my news.
That's what it's called. Turn on the class light. X-Men. Turn on the class light.
Oh, the X-Men coach. That's what it's called. Oh, X-Men Ground.
Oh. Wolverine gets a haircut.
What was the deleted scene?
The deleted
Mark?
Scene has Magneto dressing like a woman. The scene was...
And now we know why it was deleted.
Yeah.
The
because
scene
it had
why?
Everything to do with that movie.
He's really an X-Men. I like that one. That was a good one. X-Men.
You can't pat yourself on the back for.
I like that one. That was a good one, folks. That was a good one. You know it. Everybody knows it.
It's time to officially ignore Herman. Keep going.
All right. It was during the scene where Professor X and Magneto were chasing down recruiting X-Men for their team when they were in the private go-go dance room with Angel. She was gonna convince her to join the team. Magneto uses his powers to make a bucket fly up, but in this version. Charles Xavier goes into her mind and makes Magneto appear as a woman, and hence he dresses as a woman.
Okay.
I didn't think that movie could be worse.
If you can't wait for the DVD to come out, you can see to the latest
scene. I can wait,
scene.
And you know what I'll do? I'm gonna hijack all the other trucks that are delivering those DVDs so everybody can wait with me. We'll all wait till they figure out a way to deliver them without me getting wind of it.
Excellent.
That's how it's gonna work.
The crying game.
I'm
going
to put a stop to it. Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
All right. Speaking of movies.
Mr. Segway.
The movie The Help does what very few movies have done, which is in its second week of release becomes number one. So it was actually not number one, and it went up, beating out the three-week-old Rise of the Apes, which falls to second place, and also beating out newcomers Spy Kids number 4, coming in at number 3, Conan... pulling in only $10 million, coming at number 4, and Fright Night, coming at number 5, pulling in $8.3 million.
Wow, Fright Night just came out and it still did worse than Conan?
Yes, it did.
Excellent. The original movie was much better. And I didn't even see this one.
Oh, that's going to be difficult for the rest of the show.
No, it ain't.
According to the Hollywood standards, both Conan and Fright Night are now considered flops. Disney executives say that they've always hoped that The Help would be a breath of fresh air after a busy, sequel-filled smash-em-up summer. The way the public embracing the movie indicates that is it indeed the case. So they're happy.
Okay.
Well, he's happy.
He's all right. What more did you want?
I'm just saying.
Who died?
No, I don't have any.
Nobody died?
Well,
it's not a good show unless someone kicks it.
The famous musician.
You didn't write it down?
No, I didn't write it down. Pushed me for death, so I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that they were talking about the musician. You're a musician, Herman. What's the musician that died this week? There was
a lot
musician.
Of people died.
Oh, I know who died. Nick Simpson. Nick
Ashford.
Nick Ashford.
You know, he wrote a lot of good songs. Yep. For other people.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Yep.
That's what he's a very famous songwriter, and he passed away this week. So there you go. Somebody did die.
Pulled that right out of your boot, didn't you?
Valor was.
Well, I have a piece of news.
What's
her name? Oh, Hassan's gonna like this.
From the desk of Herman Sinatra.
No, this is true. They perfect.
Wait. Hold on. You said true. This is true. So
this is from the internet.
Why is it from the
that
desk?
That means it's true. It's from the internet, so therefore it's true.
Why is
they,
it? I was just saying, I was setting you up.
They can't talk over people.
I was setting you up for the desk of Herman Sinertia, and you're like, well, this is true. So does that mean the desk of Herman Sinertia does not give
no,
out
true news?
No,
it's true. Listen, Star Wars, it's coming out in 3D, right? All six of them? They perfected a ViewMaster 3D effect for the movie. So when you remember as a kid, you look at the ViewMaster, how good the 3D used to look? They got that effect for Star Wars. George Lucas perfected a 3D, a ViewMaster 3D effect. You got to still wear glasses, but 3D is going to be phenomenal. It's not going to be like that facade 3D, that, like on Conan. And once in a while, I see a couple of scenes with depth. Well, it's great. ViewMaster 3D is great.
Okay. So the news is that George Lucas has perfected the 3D.
Better 3D. Like better a ViewMaster 3D.
Okay, that's great.
Well done, George.
Well, you know, just to stick up for my friend, when the show comes, when that movie comes out, you're going to say, well, Herman said that a while ago, and he was right. Okay, holler at me, because I'm sticking up for you.
It's a ViewMaster on steroids? Is that what it is?
It's a ViewMaster on steroids.
Everything is always on steroids.
He didn't. You can't accuse him of saying something stupid until he says something stupid. That's got to be the rule. We cannot anticipate, you know, the buffoonery until he buffoons out.
Bakeman, he was saying something profound.
Yeah, he was. Well, he was trying to contribute.
So, yeah, so from the desk of Hermes Inertia, which is true news that he got from the internet.
In spite of the fact that it's from the desk of Hermes Inertia.
But
Star Wars website.
But this is Hermes Inertia, from the desk of Hermes Inertia, is always in the future.
That is true.
Did you ever notice that?
I remember.
Stuff in
the
future.
He said something about the Wonder Woman costume, and then the next week we found out about the Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah, but we're always so busy like discrediting everything that he says that we don't even make the connection when it actually comes out that Herman had said it first.
And then we just like, Herman said this, didn't he? And everybody goes, zah, zah, zah. Yeah, he did.
And he's never here when we get to corroborate
his
story.
That's why he does the future thing. Then when that comes out, he's not going to be
here. I'm not going to be here that week.
He'll be here in reality because his story from 4 weeks ago is there.
That's just like the Planet of the Apes episode. He's been talking about it for years and years and years about being on the show. When we do the Planet of the Apes episode, it was going to be a great movie, he says. And then the day of the Planet of the Apes.
I did not say it was
going to
be a great movie.
He wasn't here.
He doesn't show up.
He called in, though. He did call in.
That's true. So nicely done from the desk of Hermes Inertia.
I can't wait for the Viewmaster 3D. It should be like Star Wars Viewmaster 3D.
See, he's going to go. I'm trying to stop you from going. So we're ready for our break there, Trevor? We'll be right back with Geekscape Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Was hot. Now back to our show.
And we are back with Kane from Radio Jehovah.
Are we
Mark,
back? Are you
Hassan,
sure you're
Godwin,
back?
Joyce Saladino and Hermes Nurtje. Yes, I'm sure now because I can hear myself. So this week we're going to be talking about the movie Conan. The movie Conan is starring Jason Momoa. And since this is a Hermes Nurtje show, spoilers may be mentioned. This is a free-flowing
conversation.
It's all
Herman's fault.
Well, yeah, usually.
If you give away the end, it's all Herman's
usually,
fault.
Usually, and sometimes I may throw in a little something, but usually it's a turn. So, we'll just go around the table. What do you guys think of the movie? Since
destined
I'm looking
to wear
at Hassan
the jewel
first.
Cloud of Aquilonia upon a troubled brow.
What did you think of the movie, Hassan?
Oof. That movie wasn't good. That was a pile of not good. You know what? It was entertaining. It was entertaining, but it wasn't good. And I can't recommend it to anybody.
But it was entertaining.
It was entertaining for as long as I stayed awake. Because I was starting to doze off after, because we were seeing it at like 9 in the morning. Or so. It was that late. It was 4 a.m. Thanks to...
We actually had to see it twice to begin.
Yeah, thanks to...
We saw the credits twice.
McNurchio over here.
I had an accident.
So, alright. Yeah. So, entertaining, not recommended.
Well, you know what? There was nothing to it. There was no real story. There was no characterization. Hey, if you're gonna chuckle away from the mic. No, you just move away. You don't have to move the mic. Well done.
You can continue.
Oh, my God.
And it just, I don't know, it just didn't, it wasn't really characterized, it wasn't set up very well, it wasn't smooth transition into anything. I like Jason Momoa a lot, but they didn't give him anything to do. I think he could have done a better job. I've seen him on Stargate and on Game of Thrones, and he's a much better actor than what he displayed. And, I mean, the gore was there. At least we had some gore. But... I'm constantly astonished at how the original movie of any one of these remakes is better. And the original movie is so simplistic. The original movie is just, they killed my people. Oh, you know, I'm a slave. Oh, I'm a gladiator. Oh, I'm free. Oh, I found this sword. Oh, I'm a thief. Oh, I met these other thieves. You know, now we're all thieves. Oh, you know, I get sent on a mission to go rescue this princess. Oh, just happens to be that the guy who had to rescue Princess was the person who wiped out my village. Oh, I killed him. Oh, there's credits. You know, and then it's such a simple story, but it's so iconic in the way it was done, in the way it was told, the way it was put together. And it just was a better film. It was a better experience.
Well, what did you think of it, Herman? Herman, what did you think of it?
It was great. Even when Kevin Sorbo was starring, it looked like it was for Channel 11.
Ladies
calling
and gentlemen,
in.
That was supposed to be a joke.
Right? It looks like it belongs on Sci-Fi Channel, one of those cheap movies that Sci-Fi Channel makes. And another thing is, I'm not trying to be racist now, so don't take me offense, okay?
Uh-oh.
Conan,
I don't mean to insult you, but...
I mean, to insult anybody, but Conan is Scandinavian from the Vikings. He's supposed to be light. And have light hair. Not that...
Not necessarily.
Not Jason Lawmore or whatever his name is.
Not necessarily. He was Mediterranean.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
He was Scandinavian.
It wasn't Scandinavian. It was 10,000 years before Scandinavia.
Barbarians are from Scandinavian. Look at your history book.
Yeah, but... All right, never mind.
So what did you think?
Why
of
did they call them barbarians?
Oh.
Okay,
then shush.
So what did you think of the movie?
Shush it.
Oh, okay, it's my turn. Well,
I'm not finished yet with the movie.
Oh, he's not finished yet. Go ahead.
I love when Herman's here.
Right?
I don't have to do anything.
Listen, I mean, Hassan's right. Why did we make...
Yes, I am.
Why did this... The first Conan had grit to it. It had symbolism. Like James Earl Jones was like a cult leader and this and that. And, I mean, it had a motion picture look to it. These movies today with the high HD and the 3D, they all look like they belong on TV.
Who will come with me and achieve emptiness? Which is what the new movie achieved, totally.
Right.
I don't understand why they didn't just remake the original movie. Why did they have to add all these intricate, these so-called intricate plot lines and different themes that actually had nothing to... The movie wasn't even about Conan. It was like they showed him in the beginning, and then they wiped out his village. Same scene for scene. Well, not scene for scene, but same sequential chronology as the original movie. And then from there, it branched off, and it became about 50 other different people. And Conan, every now and then, rode through with his horse and chopped someone's head off, and then he vanished again.
So why is that, Charlie? You had an answer?
Yes, I do. I don't know why. That's my answer. No. There is a couple movies in this world that they actually made exactly like the remake. One is called The Mark of Zorro with Tyrone Power, and then they remade it years later, and I cannot remember who was in
it. Guy Williams.
That was the series. I'm talking about a movie. They made it exactly line for line, word for word, the exact same thing, and I forgot who was in the remake, but it was the exact same, and I liked The Mark of Zorro. And I said, oh, look, they brought it up to date. You know, they made it, they stayed with the script. Excellent. Conan, if you're going to ask my opinion.
Which I am.
Thank you. Conan the Kid was more impressive than Conan the Barbarian.
Absolutely.
All right, I enjoyed the whole sequence. This kid was fabulous. And I was like, enjoy the, you know, anyway, go see the movie. But I wouldn't, really, I wouldn't, wait for the DVD.
I wouldn't take the lollipop away from him, though.
Right, yeah. But then a strange thing happened on the way to the Barbarian convention. It became a dull movie. There was action, and then all of a sudden, there was, all right, let's take a nap.
Charles, can I...
It just stopped.
Interject.
No, we're not finished yet.
The reason why, because today when they make these movies, these directors, they pull all the stops out, like, the first 45 minutes of the film, and then...
What, they pull all stops out, like action?
It's an editing problem. No, it's an editing problem. I'm going to give one credit to this new movie, Conan. One credit. It did have a Frazetta look to it in a lot of scenes, when he's on the skulls and all that. It did have a Frank Frazetta look to it.
Okay. All right, but yeah, again, we're agreeing. And what I'm saying is, I cannot believe a movie comes to a roaring halt in the middle. It just was just like...
Because, all right,
let's go to the concession stands now.
Everybody tells me I'm crazy whenever I start talking about this stuff. But here's the thing. Every time...
You're crazy.
You're crazy.
Good. Keep it consistent.
I don't say it.
Here's the problem. Every time there's a...
He'll say it in the middle of you talking.
Every time there's a problem with a film, it's always because there's no characterization. Conan was not a character. Conan was a guy who ran around and he cut people to pieces because he was trying to find out who killed his, you know, his fuzzy bear or whatever he was looking for, whatever the plot was. And he didn't have any intricate insight into anything. He didn't have... Now, like, they didn't give a lot of insight into Schwarzenegger, but Schwarzenegger was a commanding character. And he did a lot. The original Schwarzenegger movie was very brave because they allowed him to do a lot without saying anything, because they basically thought he couldn't act, and they thought that people would be turned off by the accent. So they tried to make it as iconic as humanly possible with the visuals and tried to keep him as quiet as possible so they wouldn't turn off, so people wouldn't think it was funny. I mean, years later, looking back on it, the idea that no one would have been able to, you know, acclimate to Schwarzenegger's accent is kind of funny, considering the superstar that he became. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So you got Jason Momoa, who's obviously, they're going to obviously let him do things. They're going to obviously let him talk and let him emote, let him be a character. But they didn't include any character in anything that he did. They didn't add it, and they added nothing. The whole new idea of these sword and sandal movies is the Fellowship of the Ring. We're gonna have one main character, and along the way, he's gonna start accumulate all these satellite characters that go with him. And since we don't know anything really about plotting and writing and themes and devices and stuff like that, none of them are going to be able to interact with each other except for telling a couple of one-liners, and then every now and then we're going to kill one of them off so you can feel real sad, so the character feels motivated. But for the most part, it's just going to be ridiculous. And because we're going to add all these characters in, because that's what's in now, we're going to detract from us being able to focus on the main character of the story. He's not going to have any development. We're not going to know who he is, and we're not going to be able to care whether he lives or die, or whether he succeeds in his mission by the end of the film. They did the same thing with Clash of the Titans. So why did this guy have to all of a sudden? Why did Perseus all of a sudden have to go on this mission with these 50 other guys? Who, you know, in the original Clash of the Titans, he had men with him, but you never talked to them. And they all went into Medusa's cave, and they all died. And that, you know, that's what they were there for. They were red shirts, you know. And we focus on Perseus. Perseus is obviously a special case because he's able to do what these guys couldn't do. And that's the contrast. They did that to show you the contrast. Normal men get killed. Perseus does not. All right. So you got the same principle in the Clash of the Titans, but these guys all have to be. You know, they all have to be personable, and they all have to have this like this witty banter, you know, and they all have to have these like really like half-hearted arcs, sort of cheesy story arcs or whatever, and then they all get killed off, and we're supposed to be like, oh man, you know, I really wish that guy didn't die, but it's like, well, wait a minute, when we're only left with Perseus at the end, we don't know who he is. We don't know why we should care. He's only the stooge who didn't die where everybody else ended up dying. There's nothing special about him. And this is the same thing with Conan.
Yeah.
When he gets up to the end, to his goal, whatever that may be, you're like, all right.
And then he rides away from it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and you gotta remember that. That blew my mind, like, okay.
Can I interject here? This whatever you say in style type band of people with the quests and everything, that's been done so many years ago from Jason the Argonauts, Golden Voyage of Sinbad, Seven Voyage of Sinbad, all right?
Eighth Voyage.
It's been done the right way.
20th Voyage of Sinbad.
Right, well, that's what Hassan.
It's been done in Star Wars, too, with the band of people, the Han Herman. Solo. The two robots had the wisecrack. You forget. It's a quest film. Star Wars has to rescue the princess.
But Herman, what Hassan's saying is, yeah, they have these, but they give no character.
Right,
to
I
these
know. I'm
players.
Agreeing with him on that.
Right. Oh, okay.
You don't care about the guy. Because
I didn't get that part.
No, what I'm saying is, it's been done many times in Sword and Sandal movies, Hercules movies. It's been done, but they had better actors with characterization.
But he just had a script.
Right. You're right.
Because, I mean, Schwarzenegger only had two people. He had Super Tie. and he had Sandel Bergman, who was Valeria, was her character. And, you know, he falls in love with the girl, blah, 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 yeah. Move on. So, it's kind of, the whole story kind of based on this preeminent character, Conan. You know, he's just the pinnacle of blah blah blah. You can't beat him. You can't touch him. You know, and no matter what you put him, what kind of trouble you put him in, he's going to persevere. He's going to get through it. You know, they crucified him to a tree. He lived. You know, the gods tried to take him. He lived. You know, came back stronger than ever. Beat the crap out of like two really big Scandinavian guys, and dumped a whole bunch of body parts in a soup over and. You know, save the princess. You know, this guy can get the job done. And then at the end, they chased him down. He murders a whole bunch of dudes. And then gets his father's sword back and goes and kills James Earl Jones. Sorry if I ruined it for anybody, but that's basically how the movie ends. But it's about his will to persevere. It's about his indomitable will. That was basically what the movie was about. That was basically what Conan was about.
Missing the symbolism of that film.
No, we're not talking about the symbolism.
James Earl Jones was a cult, like a Jim Jones cult leader, and he chops his head off and throws the head to all the people, the cult fathers. This is not a god. This is a regular man. That's
so
what I see.
Great, Charlie. That's not what we were talking about. we know that. Hassan was just talking about the way they engineered the story,
right?
It was. It has nothing to do with.
I know what you're saying, but this film is empty.
Yeah. Okay. But what they did with Arnold is Arnold was a massive piece of protoplasm,
yes,
and they said, "Here's a sword, go."
Yeah.
And it was a brilliant film.
Swing
he didn't
around.
Talk that much. What he said was amusing, crom, you know, and that was it. And it was action. It was a story. What Hassan's saying, that's what he's saying.
Right.
It was a story. This was like, I don't know.
They didn't, I mean, Conan was kind of inconsequential to the story. He was like background. Background characterization for Rose McGowan and the guy from I forget his name.
Who's
the guy from Avatar was the main bad guy. I forget his name, though.
That guy.
Yeah, I used to know his name. I actually know who he is, but I can't remember it right now. They kind of chewed a lot of the scenery. But then here's the other problem. James Earl Jones works as a bad guy. We've seen it twice. We saw Darth Vader. That worked. We see Dulce Doom. That works. He is a force to be reckoned with. They kind of throw these actors into these roles in these modern movies who are supposed to be the villains. Like, they get Voldemort in Clash of the Titans. They get the... was it Ray Fiennes or Ralph Fiennes?
No, Harry Potter, not Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, no.
Voldemort.
No, yeah, the same guy. Yeah. The same guy who plays him. But I call him Voldemort because I can't remember his name.
Games, too.
But he basically was playing Voldemort in Clash of the Titans. And he wasn't a really imposing villain. They don't know how to do villains anymore. We're like, okay, this guy's a jerk. We gotta get rid of this guy. You know? And the good guy, here's the basic idea of an adventure story is you meet the villain meets the hero in the very beginning. You know, usually when a hero is in no shape or in no condition to be able to do anything to the villain. The villain, you know, for the sake of argument, slaps the hero around for 15 minutes and embarrasses him in front of his girlfriend, and then he goes back to his mountain castle or whatever and starts doling out justice, you know, along the land and darkness and blah, blah, blah. The hero spends the rest of the movie building up enough strength and character and force of will to be able to take on the villain. It's just that simple. It doesn't have to be anything more than that, you know? So I don't know why you're going to throw in, the bad guy's daughter and, you know, you got to throw in his love interest, you know, some princess that comes out of nowhere.
Hold it. Thank God they threw the bat, because Rose McGowan is the highlight of this movie. The script is the low point. Rose is the highlight, because, and I'll tell you why, they did not make me hate this villain. Didn't hate the villain. Rose, I was kind of a little tifted with.
Here's another point that they miss. Hassan's right, and you're right. Now listen to me. When you make an adventure movie, you always have the villain, like he says, comes along and smacks the little guy around, like Atlas, like the big guy kicking the sand in the skinny guy's face on the beach. But the villain now kidnaps his girlfriend. That's the adventure story. Now he sets up a game for the band to follow. They have to fight this monster, that monster, to get to the girl that's going to be sacrificed to the dragon or monster. That's how adventure stories work. And this one didn't have this. Prince of Persia was better than this Conan movie.
Actually, that's how they work, really.
I actually didn't mind Prince of Persia.
But what I'm saying again is, make me hate
the villain.
Right.
Like Conan made me hate.
Nobody knows how to do that anymore because they don't know how to characterize. They don't know how to
kill his mother in front of him. Kill the puppies. Kill everybody. You will make me hate you.
That's all they can do. All they can do now is just have the villain be some kind of ice cold killer. In the old days, the villains used to have charisma, and they used to be terrifying. You know, they used to the new villains can only press a button and blow up a city. You know, oh, he's a bad guy that we got to get rid of.
Yeah,
him.
I didn't know anybody in the city, so it's not personal. You know, it's like, but he's a snappy dresser.
I hope that doesn't happen here.
I thought the villain Captain America was good.
Okay.
But we're talking Conan. We're talking why Conan's not working. So, again, Rose McGowan, if they made her
the villain
and really let her do more, I could have disliked her.
It could have...
That's not the story.
Could have run Conan. Into... It turned into Nicole, though.
Yeah.
Because with Tia Carrera was the villain-ness, and that was kind of like...
Yeah, well, it's I'm just proving the point that the bad guy wasn't... I didn't, you know...
Yeah, but I mean, how can this movie be worse than the Scorpion King? You know? I mean, I don't understand... I don't get how the Scorpion King is a better constructed film, action-adventure film, than this. I don't understand how Roadhouse is better than Conan. You know, as pertains to sequential storytelling. This thing was just all over the place.
Is that Roadhouse the Musical?
Yes, Roadhouse the Musical, yeah. Turn off the road.
You beat up the audience in Roadhouse the Musical.
I'm absolutely confused as to why These stories just get... no one can do this anymore. No one seems to be able to do this stuff anymore.
Well, I felt that three quarters of the movie was bearable, and then it seemed like they forgot.
Then it wasn't.
Then they seemed like they ran out of ink for the script, and it was like, all right, go make up whatever. Because at least the motivation of the villains was consistent up until about three quarters of the movie, about the climax of the movie, I had to put.
What are you doing?
He's fighting.
Where are you going? My pen ran out of ink.
Yeah.
So you just gonna go home?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, good luck. You know, have a nice day. You can figure it out. You'll be all right.
My foot hurts.
I asked him for more than one pen. They wouldn't give it to me. I'm not gonna finish this script.
No more paper. Yeah, I thought you were going to Staples. No, I thought you. Come on, we got to get this in the can. So I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go rent Conan.
It's like, what was it, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and they're like, and he went, and then that was it. That's all he wrote. And
perhaps so he was taking dictation.
So, and up until the climax of the movie, where he's fighting the sand creatures, I'm sitting there thinking, it ain't so bad. It's all right. I'm enjoying myself. It's not the greatest, but I'm following it along as best I can, and, you know, the chick is hot and whatever, and fine. But then, as soon as we hit the climax of the movie, the motivations of the bad guys just changed, and then stuff just went really just out the door, not making sense. People are on one second they're in the cliffs, and then the next second they're in the mountains, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then they make some elaborate setup on how they're going to kill the girl, and then they're like, we don't want to kill the girl anymore, but then we do want to kill the girl. So like I said, they're just like, you know what, just make it up. Good luck, guys. We'll go home. Give me my money. I was like, I don't understand what happened. So the best thing I can think of is that they ran out of ink for the story, and that was
and the
it.
The guy just went home. He was disgusted.
Yeah, it's like,
and he went home.
I thought you were writing the ending. No.
And like, we got to film today. What do we do?
We just make it up as we're going on. As long as he kills enough people and cuts enough heads off, then we got gallons of blood, people are going to love it. It's going to be a big hit.
That's what happened. Well, out of ink. Frank, how much blood we got left? How much can we chop up? Let's go for it.
No, we got a lot more than paper and pens.
Because
I keep trying to kind of compare it to movies that I actually like and try to find out exactly what they've done wrong, because it's so, what they got wrong was so subtle that you can't really put your finger on it. It's just something about all of these pieces that they put together do not work. As opposed, it's like when you get like a bad factory model of something, where the pieces are just slightly off scale. They all look right, but they don't go together in the model right. For some reason, your whole model is just trash because there was one part that was defective.
And it's on your desktop, completed like that, and you keep looking at it and go, "What?
Something's wrong with this thing?"
Sandpaper.
You know? And that's what's wrong with this film, because it had all the components that were supposed to work, all the things that came together, had big budget, had a lot of action, had big action scenes and, you know, violence
special
and this and that.
Special effects were
decent. Yeah, special effects were great, and then it was just too much. Too many chefs, you know. You threw too much crap in.
I'd like to see, because again, I don't want to give anybody a wrong impression. The gentleman who played Conan, I think he was good. I'd like to see him given another role as another fictional barbarian,
but not Conan, and put his
twist to it like he did to Conan, but it was all wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it would have worked if they just let Conan be the star of the movie instead of all this other crap. There was so much in there that had nothing to do with anything, and he just came. He kept showing up, and he was completely inconsequential to any of the events that were happening.
He's like, "Do I have any lines?
Yeah, he would show up,
and
someone's head would pop off their shoulders, and he'd be like, and he'd get on his horse and ride away, and then he'd be gone for 10 minutes. And then they'd show the bad guy, Stephen Lang. Oh, Stephen Lang is the bad guy's name. Yeah, they would show Stephen Lang, who's a great actor. I've liked him for years. He's been a lot of stuff. A lot of people don't even know how long that guy's been around. He got big with Avatar, and it's good for him. I'm happy for him. He played a villain. They gave the villain too much to do, and they gave Conan too little to do. Because your villain really doesn't have to be anything but imposing. He doesn't. He's, you know, okay, he's going to take over the world. He's got an army. He's a villain. He's a vicious bad guy who kills people. He doesn't need to be more than that.
He was the soda without the fizz, because he's the big bad, and we get to the big bad, and like, that was it? That's what we're hating about the Scorpion King. This is the whole buildup. The bad guy they chose for the Scorpion King was like
3 feet shorter than the Rock.
Yeah, he was a Metro guy.
And you're like, what?
This guy?
This guy's going to kill him. He's going to smack him around. All he would do was wait for the whole movie for The Rock to run into this guy, and The Rock should have said,
Catch this. You're the one.
You're the dude that's been messing this whole thing up this whole time. I'm going to pick you up and throw you out of one of these windows. You're no threat to me.
Well, get ready for another one. Jack the Giant Killer is being remade.
The same thing that they did with Gladiator. You know, where you have Russell Crowe killing people, killing giant human beings for 2.5 hours. And then you put him up against Joaquin Phoenix at the end. And you're like, really?
I'm going
to... Joaquin has to cut him.
When he was tied up,
fight his bear.
Yeah, he has to poison him. No, he has to stab him. So it's still not fit. The guy's still going to kill you. You killed his wife and kid. He's been waiting the whole movie to get to you. And you gave him the chance. It didn't make any sense, that ending didn't make.
Which is a great point, because, and Herman could back me up on this, in all the old Hercules movies, they made the evil emperors look evil.
Yeah.
And they made them look disgusting, like, there's a guy I could slap around. Not even say, I could just look at that eyeliner. You know, boom.
The best villain, really, besides Darth Vader, right, is Tom Baker in Golden Voyage of Sinbad. He played Korra, great villain. If you watch that movie, a
good example of what we're talking about here is Jet Li in Lethal Weapon 4. He was a small guy.
Yeah. Excellent.
He didn't really speak.
Yeah. Nope.
But man, you knew that guy was dangerous. You knew he was trouble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it took both Murtaugh and Riggs at the top of their game to try and take him down. And you're like, I don't think they can do it.
You guys need to call back up.
That is an excellent example, because he is one of my favorite martial artists since Bruce Lee. He is amazing. And in this movie, I hated him.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you really hated him.
That's what we're talking about.
And he had a presence, and he did not say one English word. At that point in time, he did not even know English.
He had one English line.
Did he really say, in China,
you'd be dead. And he said it 4 times in the film.
And all he did was look. He had these looks.
Yeah. It also helps that he can float and you know, drop kick people from the top of stairs. It helps that he can do all that stuff, but... My favorite villain, one of these sword and sorcery movies, was Clancy Brown from Highlander. It was the Kurgan. He said 3 lines in the whole film. He was big and imposing and, you know, but you were worried about your hero. You know, you were worried that eventually our hero is going to have to meet up with this guy. And, you know, if I were him, I wouldn't want to face that guy. And that's what you have to try to achieve with your villain. You have to make it, you know, you have to make your hero so that the reader or the audience or whatever identifies with the hero and puts himself in the hero's place. But then you have to make your villain someone that the audience would not want to have to deal with, you know? That makes the hero even more exalted than the audience. Yeah. Because the hero is going to do something that the audience would rather not do. You know, he's going to go right into the cave, and he's going to go murder this demon. And us who paid our $10 to watch this film would rather stay outside the cave and watch him murder the villain. We're not going in there with him.
Great point about that. It's the anticipation.
Right.
From your hero getting to that villain, and what the heck is he going to do, and the whole story along the way.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
One of my favorite villains from movies, Sword and the Sorcerer, Richard Lynch, great villain. Didn't see him a lot in the film.
Richard Lynch
was great. Good movie, Sword and the Sorcerer.
So, I think your actor's got to do it. I don't know if you can do it in writing, in dialogue. Your actor's really just has to be imposing, like Patrick McGowan from Braveheart. You know, he doesn't have any climactic, you know, fisticuffs with William Wallace, but he was still a terrifying villain. You know, it's. You really have to have or Alfred Molina in Spider-Man 2. You know,
He's a really good actor.
Yeah, but that was all, you know, all his lines were in the script, but if it wasn't Alfred Molina doing that, it would have been a joke. It really would have been. He really turned that into... That's why that movie is probably considered the best of all three, because it had the best villain.
The success is going to be how sweet the revenge was. That's what it's going to be. In the original Conan, Arnie walks up to him and boom.
Yeah, but he had, it is. He had lost everything, you know.
Right.
He comes in raw. It's actually, the reason that's so great, it's not even a high moment. It's an afterthought. It's like a coda, you know. It's just one of those, I got to go take care of this. You know, after the action sequence is over and all the main, you know, the henchmen are dead. You know, the bad guy rides away, and he just kind of, it's just kind of like this kind of casual epilogue to the film. But it's really powerful, you know? And he just kills him. I mean, the guy didn't even fight back. It's not even a heroic scene. But it just works so well, and that's because of the character of Conan. This character would not stop. He was an immovable force. You weren't going to be able to stop him, no matter what you threw at him. He wasn't going to go away. He wasn't going to be satisfied. He wasn't going to get tired. He's going to come and kill you, regardless of how much time has passed.
And like Herman said, the icing on the cake was him throwing the head down before I'm there. That was it.
Yeah. From three musicians out of here.
You bunch of idiots. This guy's not a guy.
Right. Three musicians out of here. Music was great in the original Conan.
Yeah.
The music score. What kind of music score did this new film have? Drones again?
Yeah.
You know?
It did not have a signature theme.
No, it had no character. The whole film had no character.
So we've done this many shows before, so let me ask you guys. If this movie was not called Conan, would it have made a difference to you guys? So we got to know. Herman, what do you think? If it wasn't called Conan, if it was just called, you know, Sword and Chopper.
It should have been on Showtime. I'm sorry to say that.
Even then.
But well, if it was called Sword Chopper.
It looked like a cheap version of Conan that guy makes all the time. The cheap version of the movies.
The Asylum.
Yeah, that's it. That's all
I'm
saying.
So is that a yes or no?
What? what's... It should have been called Conan, yes.
Would you have called it a good movie, regardless of what
it was called?
It wasn't
Conan. No. Okay. My answer is no, because that would have still been a boring, like, after the Sand People, it would have still, you know, nap time, no matter what the movie was called, you know?
I think actually it might have helped slightly, not being Conan, because people had an expectation of what he was. And for me, I didn't feel that Jason Momoa, although I hear he's a really tall guy, like 6'4", and he's built, he didn't have that larger-than-life presence that Ralph Molyer and...
Yeah, but that's the way they filmed him. I mean, you can film someone that look like that. Tom Cruise is 4 feet tall.
That's very true. That's very true. But he just didn't have that presence that I felt that he
and some of that might be him. You know, some of them he might not have been able to be capable of it. I don't think so, because I've seen him in other things.
Right.
And he has that presence.
I have never seen him at all.
He's not a bad... again, folks out there, we're not saying he was a bad actor.
No.
It's just he's not Conan, you know.
This movie wasn't him.
Yeah. Right. That's what we're trying to say. He
did the job. I mean,
he showed up, he chopped up people.
This went
to
the same
mind.
Problem with the American Godzilla film. It should have been called Godzilla.
All right, so we got 3 minutes left. So we're going to go around with final thoughts. I'll go with Herman with this final thought. What is your final thought, Herman?
Help Hollywood. Please make a donation to Hollywood, the writers
aren't
in Hollywood.
Money the donation?
Donation of ideas. That money, they have plenty of money. Okay, get some writers there. Get some real talent in Hollywood, because I don't know.
That's
it needs help.
Funny. I like that.
Charlie, you have a final thought?
My final thought is what I said before. The highlight of this movie is Rose McGowan for me, and because she plays a really good villain, or witch, and the low part is the script. The script was like the lowest.
A song?
I found it entertaining, but I can't recommend it for anybody. I can't really call it a good movie. It's not a... I'm sure if I ever got it on DVD or whatever, I would watch it to the extent where I would find merit in it, but it didn't it didn't really do what I had hoped it was. But I didn't expect it to.
No, so. I had low expectations for it, and it met my low expectations, and it went further down than it was supposed to. Like I said, the end just fell off. So my final thought is, if you're making a movie, make sure you have enough ink and paper for the rest of the script. Make sure that things make sense. If you have one guy doing something in the beginning of the movie with motivation, he should have the same motivation throughout the movie. I want to kill this guy, and then, I don't want to kill that guy no more. Like, then why were you wasting half of the movie for trying to kill the guy for? It's one of those things that bothered me to no end. So I say, not worth 3D, not worth seeing it. Wait until it comes out in video.
And if you go to see the movie,
that's your
right
final
after
thought,
the,
your
right
final
after the kid
already.
Grows up, leave. Because Conan the Kid was fabulous.
Devastating.
So basically, Conan the Kid, pay full price, go in there, watch half movie, then leave, and you'll be more satisfied.
No, sneak in, watch the first half, sneak and then leave.
Sneak in after he kills the sand people, go.
We do not condone sneaking into films.
Channel Hollywood. 11 presents
people,
Conan.
People work very hard to make a half a movie, so right. We should at least support them.
Right. Sneak in.
Partially.
Sneak in and see it.
So then
go see the Smurfs.
Go see the Smurfs.
Conan vs. Smurfs is going to be the sequel.
All right.
It's like a pilot film for a TV series.
Turn off the Smurfs.
So that about does it this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromtheradio.com and you can listen to our archives, which will be up in a week or so. If you can't wait that long, which some of you can't, you can go on you can go to such places as Podcast Planet and iTunes, and it will be up in just a few minutes after we broadcast. Charlie?
Happy birthday, Anthony.
Happy birthday, Anthony. And all our news items are on our Facebook page, like us on our Twitter, and we will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.